Good morning. It's good to see everyone gathered to worship and greet each one in Jesus' precious name. And bring greetings from Ridgeview Congregation in Missouri. Invite you to come there sometime when you have an opportunity. I enjoyed the service so far, the singing. Give to our God immortal praise. Are we giving God the praise that he needs today? And also the devotional, Sunday School devotional, God chooses to dwell in us. This morning, let's choose Jesus. The song we just sang to you, may we never cease to pray in our busy schedules. Sometimes that's the easiest thing to drop is prayer. This morning, I'd like to, it's Father's Day, and my title this morning is Faithful Fathers. And I know there's a bunch of fathers here that are preachers that could have at least 50 years of experience and being a dad. Anyhow, I'd like to just, there's one thing I thought of in Genesis 1:28 talks about, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. If God would have merely wanted people on the earth, he would never have destroyed the people with a flood. But he wants faithful people. He don't want just people. He wants godly people. So I want to look at this a little bit, faithful fathers. And there in Ephesians 6, before we get into the sermons, there's just a few little things I'd like to share. Ephesians 6, verse 4. Ephesians 6, verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. My dad talked a little bit about that already. Children won't just naturally obey and honor unless someone helps them. I believe this duty, it says here, ye fathers, I think that's a duty assigned to the dads, the fathers. Provoke not your children to wrath. I believe this morning how we bring up our children certainly has much to do with our own future happiness or heartbreak. Now is the time to be concerned that we are trustworthy. Character is not what a person appears to be, but what he actually is at heart. Let's remember that as we go through the sermon. I'd like to look at six things this morning. How was Abraham? I want to look at Abraham's life a little bit. What traits built Abraham's character? How was Abraham a good dad or a faithful father? Let's turn to Genesis 12. There are some things maybe that Abraham could have done different, but Abraham was a faithful father. Genesis 12, verse 1 to 10, I like to read. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten into Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh, and to the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east side of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east, and there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed going on still toward the south, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Number one, how was Abraham a good father? He was responsive to God. He responded to God. In verse 1 there it talks about God leaving. God said, leave your homeland, leave your family. And I don't think that'd be very easy to do, just to pick up and leave. It'd be a hard thing to do. But we see in verse 4, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. He responded well to what God said, obedience. He responded right away. Then also a few chapters later, God told Abraham to offer Isaac. We'll look at that a little bit later in one of our points, but he said, take now thy son. There Abraham rose up early. That wouldn't be an easy thing to do if you're you sacrifice a son. I thought we only wake up early to do fun things. God told him to do a hard thing, and he was obedient. Probably most of us this morning are not commanded to pull stakes and go to a strange country, but sometimes God does call us to do some hard things, difficult things, maybe in home or church or work, tough decisions that we need to make or serious problems that we need to work out. As Abraham was responsive to God, we as Christians must also be responsive to God. When God says it, let's do it. This morning, let's heed the Spirit. This morning, how dedicated are we to serve the Lord? What is the most important thing to us? It's very important for us to love our families, but God must come first. Number two, the second point I have is, how was Abraham a faithful father? His reverence. He wrote Genesis 12, verse 8. He removed from thence unto a mountain of the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord. It seemed like Abram here, so many times he moved. Pretty well every time he did that, when he stopped, he built an altar. He was a follower of God. Total surrender to Jesus Christ. Are we leaning on God this morning? Are we daily sitting at Jesus' feet? When Abram moved, settled down, he always worshiped God. God was always in the picture. As we move about, do we keep God in the picture? As we work and are busy, let's don't forget God. How is our church attendance? Are we too tired on a Wednesday evening to go to church? I know sometimes it's a challenge for me. But what's most important? Maybe if we're too tired to go to church in the evening, maybe we didn't rest enough during the day. Number three, how was Abraham a faithful father? He was a peacemaker. He left Lot pick the best land. Wouldn't you call that unselfish? I'd like to read in Genesis 13, verse 14 to 18. I would like to read it this time. Genesis 13, 14 to 18. See, Lot here picked the best land. Genesis 13, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee, Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plains of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. We see there that God promised it all back to him. Even though he left Lot have the best land, God promised it all back to him. Lot's selfish choice caused him much grief. As we read, we've seen that the king invaded the area, kidnapped Lot and took his goods, and there was only one person escaped to come and tell Abram. Are we peacemakers this morning like Abraham? Where there is anger and bitterness, there is no peace. Where there is confusion, there is no peace. There in James 4, it talks about wars and fightings among you. What is war and fightings? It's a lack of peace. Resistance is not peace. Frustration is not peace. Where there is contentment and strife, there is no peace. Excluding one another is not peace. No communication or faulty communication, it's because there is no peace. Disturbance or being disturbed, that is not peace. What is peace in the heart? Isn't it an absence of conflict? Peace is what happens when I say amen to the will of God. Peace is what happens when I accept what God permits in my life. We need to accept interruptions. We need to accept change of schedule. Now turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 32. I'll read a few verses there. Isaiah 32, verse 15. Isaiah 32, verse 15 to 18. Unto the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be contended for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in a quiet resting place. Humility this morning brings peace. A humble person has peace. I read a story recently of there was two mountain goats on the edge of a cliff. There was not enough room to pass each other. The one mountain goat knelt down, and the other jumped over the top of the other. The one that was down got up again and went on its way. There was no war on the mountain cliff, or both would have died. Because one humbled himself, there was peace. Humility this morning brings peace. Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus taught his disciples, said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Number four, how was Abram a faithful father? He showed mercy. We see that Lot picked the best land when they separated. Abraham could have said, and I think most people would say, "You made your own bed, now lie in it." That would have been pretty easy for Abram to say to Lot. But not Abraham. He risked his life to save his nephew. Another time when God was going to destroy Sodom, Abraham immediately pleaded with God for Lot's sake. Why did God save Lot? The answer there is in Genesis 19, verse 29. Reads like this, "And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the city in the which Lot dwelt." Why did God save Lot this morning? I think it was because of Abraham. He interceded for Lot. It's a challenge for each of us. Mercy does not try to even the score. Mercy does not take revenge. Mercy does not even rejoice in the hardship of others. Instead of taking pleasure in the pain of others, it does what it can to heal the hurt of others. Again, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Jesus was merciful to each of us this morning, because we deserve death, but he showed mercy to us. The fifth point I have, how was Abraham a faithful father? He had vision. Abraham had a vision for his family. Years later, he wanted a wife for Isaac. Abraham told his servant, "Get a wife from my own kindred, not from a heathen wife." Do we have a strong vision this morning for our families to pass on the faith? The love and truth that our parents had, do we have the same love for God as they did? The Bible talks about idleness as the devil's workshop. Are we teaching our children the importance of work? The proverb says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard." Did you ever think, how can we learn from a small critter like that, a small ant? They're very busy. I read recently that an ant never sleeps. All its life never sleeps. And we need to sleep as humans, but it should tell us that we also need to work. It's a quote I read, "If you want your child to have their feet on the ground, put some responsibility on their shoulders." This morning, to have a vision, it takes time to show love. In our busy schedule, so many times we don't have time. We must pause in our busy schedules to look at hurt fingers of our little children, help them with their little problems. Really listen to their chatter. So many times it's easy just to kind of say, "Well, to them." We must remember their little problems. They are just as important to them as ours are to us. So take time for their questions. Their little wheel that broke on their little car, to them, is very important. It's just as important as a wheel falling off of our vehicle. Be ready for interruptions. This morning, are we taking time for our little ones? There's a little boy one evening told his dad, "How much do you earn?" The dad didn't respond, and then the little boy said, "Well, how much do you make an hour?" The dad said, "It's really none of your business." Later in the evening, he went to his little boy beside the little bed to say goodnight to him. And the little boy said, "Can I borrow $20 from you, Dad?" The dad said, "No." "What about $5? And the dad said, "What do you need it for?" "If I could use your $5 and my $15 that I have saved up, which that makes $20, I want to buy just 1 hour of your time." Are we too busy for our little ones? Let's remember our children. They want us. Do you have your child's heart? It's interesting, different times if you ever go into McDonald's, a child orders their little Happy Meal, and they dig in and get their cheeseburger out. They get their fries out, and you can tell they're not near finished. There's something else in there yet that they want. It's that little toy. McDonald's knows how to get your child's heart, so you keep coming back. Do you win your child's heart? How do I win my child's heart? Number one, who has my heart? Be a friend to your children. A relationship that is not just built on things. I want to read a verse in Joshua 24. Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Where are the fathers in this world? Fathers, be there for your children. Also, fathers, don't forget your wife. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. They do so much behind the scenes for each one of us. The last one I have is on commitment. How was Abraham a faithful father? He was committed. Commitment. Genesis 22. Let's all turn to that. Genesis 22, verse 1. Genesis 22, verse 1 to 13, is a very familiar story of Abraham and Isaac. Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and he went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place where God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took his knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. See the scene here of Abraham and Isaac, and how could Abraham do it? Two little things here. Abraham had a powerful commitment to obey and serve the God of heaven. And also he had a commitment too between, I think there was a commitment between father and son. I'm sure they talked as they walked. We might say we will never have a decision like that to make. But are we willing to sacrifice our children to God and commit them to him? We are called to work out the same choices that Abraham did on the mountain. Lord, I want you first in my life. More important than anything else, we will go all out to obey Jesus Christ. Jesus never failed or let his children down. He has stood by fathers in every situation and helped them master their situation. Just a few closing thoughts yet. In Psalm 127, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Let's let the Lord build our lives this morning. Another verse, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." I know that was my mom's favorite verse. Let's be joyful to walk with the Lord. Seeing wherever Abraham went in the land of Canaan, he was marked by two, by his tent and his altar. The tent stood for a stranger and pilgrim. He kept moving around. Same with us, we don't belong to this world. And the altar was marked him as a citizen of heaven. He believed in having God first. I believe that's how Abraham knew where to go and what to do. He called upon the name of the Lord. Thinking of a father and a dad, you know, you'll never get another chance to be a dad. A faithful father, steadfast of affection, loyal. 1 Thessalonians 2:11, I'd like to look that verse up here. "As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." The father is speaking, exhorting and comforting as a father does. Now, Joshua 24, I'd like to read this. I read one of the verses there, but Joshua 24, 14. "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Let's be faithful fathers this morning. Let's be faithful mothers. Let's be faithful children. I'd like to read in Matthew of 25, a few verses that inspired me recently. And you could easily spend a whole sermon on this chapter here. But Matthew 25, verse 14. I'll read verse 14 to 30. "For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling to a far country. He called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And then he that had received his 5 talents went, traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, reckoned with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have given besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathered where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. And then at my coming I shall have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which had 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that hath abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We see Jesus coming back very soon. And I like there in verse 21, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." This morning, God wants us to be faithful. A faithful servant. We want Jesus to tell each one of us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I'd like to read a little story here. The title is, "Today, Sir, Today." A tourist who visited an exquisite garden on one of the lovely estates in Italy wrote the following account of his conversation with the caretaker. "How long have you been here?" he asked. 25 years. "And how often has the owner been to see the estate?" 4 times. "When did he come last?" 12 years ago. "He writes to you, I suppose?" "Never." "From whom do you get your orders?" "From the steward in Milan." "Does he come here often?" "Never." "Who comes then to look after things?" "I am left pretty much alone. Very seldom do I see any strangers." "Yet you keep the garden so spick and span that one would think you were expecting the owner tomorrow." "Today, sir, today." Let's be faithful and live our lives as if Jesus would come back today. Let's pray.